everybody, and welcome to the Enterprise Sales Development Podcast, brought to you by Cyence Technologies. We interview outbound leaders at fast growth businesses to learn their secrets and bring you actionable insights. Thanks for joining us this week.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Enterprise Sales Development. I'm your host, Eric Quanstrom, the CMO at Cyence. Today's episode, we have Charity Lee. And Charity is a sales development vet that began her career as an SDR, kind of worked her way through a number of different SDR kind of like roles, and then is working her way through a number of SDR leadership and management roles. Companies she's worked for include Sauce Labs, Microfab or Macrofab, Booknook, Princeton Review, and Signpost. So a really rich career of experiences, and you're going to hear that coming through loud and clear. In fact, we get into it with a lot of really good tips that you're going to want to listen for, because we talk a lot about kind of like SDR best practices and techniques and tactics, especially on the phone channel. Charity's a real pro, and you're going to hear some really good advice coming through. So for those that are managing SDR teams, you're definitely going to want to check out this episode to see how Charity runs her programs, what she teaches, how she structures it, especially onboarding. We go deep on that subject as well. And then for the SDRs in the group listening, you're going to pick up a ton of tips, because she goes real world on us. And really, you can kind of hear the expertise coming through throughout the interview. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here's Charity Lee. And we're back with Charity Lee. And Charity, you've been in kind of the sales development space now for a little while, and actually have some pretty interesting experiences. Why don't you talk a little bit, and just so that we can kind of get a feel, what got you into sales development in the first place?
So doing it, I think, got me into sales development in the first place. I started life out as an SDR. Because actually what's funny is I was supposed to go to film school and do like something completely different, but that didn't work out due to just like lifing. And I was able to find a position selling for a company called Signpost, selling to B2B small businesses for their CRM. And so literally, like, you know, we were part of this team, and I still talk to a lot of those people today. And like, we just had all these really great experiences as a team while we were working hard. Like, some of it even kind of intense. Like, our boss did this one thing where he dropped us off like in the middle of Austin, and we had to find our way back without like cell phones. And that was like, I mean, yeah, right. Now today I'd be like, whoa. I mean, it was still worth it, but it was like, it was, it's interesting, you know, it's like going through that experience with people. So I made 100 calls a day. I like to say I got cursed out 100 times a day, and it really developed a thick skin for myself. And when I moved on and was like account executive and stuff like that, I enjoyed it, but like, I think the pressure was kind of high for me there at the time, at least, because I wasn't as confident in sales as a whole. And I, for some reason, just like going after it and getting that start was something I just felt like I was really, really good at. And so that's what I was passionate about and wanted to build upon.
You know, it's fascinating. Someone that says in the same breath, to make 100 cold calls a day and kind of like get used to it, like not having the confidence when you're a little later on in the sales cycle, like, interesting dichotomy, no?
Yeah, it's weird, huh? Like closing is really interesting. So I'll give you some context for where I started, and it was around the time of the Challenger sale.
Yeah.
Spin selling, and not saying that those are any sales methodologies are bad, but we had to do like a lot of pushing at the time.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that sale, I didn't love, but when I went to education, I worked for like the Princeton Review. It was much more consultative. It was like curiosity questions, figuring out your situation and matching a solution. We literally had to like take classes on it. And so I really enjoyed that a little bit more, but I think, you know, yeah, just when it came to taking this deal, I think I wanted something after that. I wanted management. And for some reason, I just really like managing new folks. And I learned quickly that AEs typically aren't new.
Right.
I really enjoy kind of like taking the, you know, the people that are coming in and are like, what's all this, and focusing that for them, because that energy is so helpful elsewhere. And so, yeah, I was scared of the clothes for a second. And I do, like, I feel like I've mastered the front of the call. And I later have been able to master the clothes, because I say that SDRs have a close. Like, we have a close. Sure. They have a close.
You're selling the meeting.
Yeah. You just have to envision it and get yourself there. So if you just translate that kind of to the account executive part, I mean, you can do the same thing. You just have to know the systems, right?
Makes perfect sense to me. And you're now, or have been, a multi-time kind of SDR manager, including stops at Book Nook and MacroFab and Sauce Labs. So it sounds like you've been able to put that passion to work with, right, bringing in, you know, kind of like SDRs net new onto your team and being able to start training them and really work with them, right?
Yeah.
It's the heart of being an SDR manager.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, so when I worked at the Princeton Review, I always actually count this almost as my first like sales development management experience. I was a graduate business development manager because I was like inside sales for a while and I was like really cruising there. Honestly, we had like, we had all this office flair and everything like that. Like there was like a keg in the refrigerator, like, and they built, it was literally like they built it themselves. Like they put it in a regular refrigerator. So anyway, I was like, this is great. You know, I could cruise here, but I really want, like I said, I always work toward the management. So I found a way to be a graduate business development manager for all of Central Texas colleges. And that's a lot of land and a lot of students.
Yeah.
And so literally I think I was beholden to $2 million year over year. And this is from a person who's literally like making like 80K or something, you know, is good for me in like a month as far as like my sales. But yeah, no. This was big leagues. And so when I actually, we beat that by like 4 million, but I was very, half by half, but I was very nervous the whole time because I had to hire, retain campus representatives, and they're like part-time and they don't have like a 401k. So
right.
You really have to have an eye for people that aren't going to quit. And if they are going to quit, you have to have like onboarding ready to go and more candidates always be hiring. So that actually, I think, set me up for a lot of my SDR management experience.
Yeah. So when you get more of that kind of pure full-time in the job, in the role, folks that take business seriously, you know, it's much easier to coach, train, like set expectations. Here's your quota.
Yeah.
All of it, right?
Yeah. 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 I got the, so on the floor experience, like and you know, that sales acumen, I get so much from, working with SDRs. Cause like what I meant to say that I built from that other point in my life was the process. Like I came in and I had to have like tight processes, because we didn't have time for people to be confused or to be like taking forever to onboard or anything. And so that helped me in that realm, but like, yeah, then coming in and managing SDRs is much better because it's, you know, we're here doing something together as a team and they have so much more of a stake in what they're doing. And, I'm grateful for that. Coachability is a huge like part of being a good SDR and hearing things in different ways. I mean, it's a good part of being a person. Like, you never want to be the smartest person in the room because then that's boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd love for you to peel that onion and get to different layers around, you know, some of the process that you put in place. Like what were the hallmarks of the structures that you chose? You know, if you don't have forever to onboard people, what's most important for them to start with? Give us a sense of how you built those programs.
Yeah, so definitely. Well, reading books, I look around because I used to have them near me. But, you know, reading books about sales development kind of really helped me master, think about clarity of task. I have it written down here, like in front of me, because that's really the most important thing for an SDR. So I learned to, of course, like build an onboarding schedule, because even though, you know, HR is going to have them go through, if you've been through HR, it's like syllabus week. It's quite different than what you're going to be actually doing. And so I think making sure that you have those check-ins, I personally like to check in every day for the first week and just kind of like make sure that all the questions are answered and, you know, they're getting a chance of it. Also shadowing from, you know, looking on LinkedIn videos and following people, like shadowing is extremely helpful. I mean, if you can get like a cohort or get people, you know, starting at the same time, that's great. But excuse me, I always have some shadowing component where they have to literally introduce themselves to some, to an SDR, and, you know, and the SDR knows that they're going to come and introduce themselves or whatever, but I have to, like, I'm like, I need you to connect with these people and I need you to listen to, you know, two of their calls a week, or shadow them for maybe like 30 minutes your first week, like twice a week, twice a day, like pick two people. Sure. And just to get them going, like get them and on the phones within the first like week. I think that that's extremely important, because it's really easy to like over analysis paralysis it, and getting there and doing it is really what makes you most confident in what you're doing.
So let's dive into that too, because I'm really curious about, you know, getting reps onto phones in the first week. I couldn't agree more. Building the callus, not being afraid of the phone, getting over call reluctance syndrome. Huge for SDRs.
Yeah.
Flip side, you know, arguably maybe you're not as much of a subject matter expert, as well versed in the product or service that you represent, may not even really totally understand the problem space and the personas that you're calling into. How do you kind of like, how did you mitigate that? Or did you just say, hey, this is all going to be a learning experience, and you'll kind of, frankly, you know, take some bumps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So onboarding and enablement is huge. I've only actually worked with like one enablement team, and I was so grateful for it. It was literally like being in the desert and finally having like water. and I was at Sauce Labs, and they were awesome. But anyway, enablement just but in a whole, like in general, is really important. So, and that's training, you know, is part of that. Like the thing about it, and the thing I always tell SDRs, is that you don't have to be an engineer, you don't have to be a developer. Like they don't expect you to be that, but you do have to know about your industry. I mean, like there's gonna be news on it, there's gonna be the more, you know, kind of info story-wise that you can kind of have to incorporate into the engagement with your prospects, the better. But really, like the most important thing is just seeing them like as a human. So yeah. I talk a lot about like just the conversation, having that. And I think people will honestly give other people more slack than anyone honestly ever thinks that they will.
Yes.
Like if some people have always, and I'm not like amazing, but people have, I think, always appreciated that I'm honest. Like I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, oh yeah, I know all these things, because that's what they expect salespeople to do.
Right.
And if you're saying, hey, I'm sorry, man, it's actually my first week on the phone, but I do understand that you guys have this problem, or that you guys typically run into this in the industry. Is that something that you handle? You know, is that something, tell me a little bit about your perfect situation with like people, and especially like developers and engineers, like, you know, they like talking about, everybody likes talking about themselves. So I take that point of view of like, it's almost this just like social experience, this social thing that we have to do. And it's more based on the human component But you do have to, of course, like, just, you know, learn up on the industry. And so I think that enablement is important there and making sure that they do their, like the SDR does their due diligence as far as like the trainings that they have, asking the questions and things like that. But also I always train and tell folks to Google it, look at Google News, look at Forbes, Crunchbase, whatever you can to get any outside kind of scoop or understanding. Or even if something like, what's great too, if you're like, hey, what is that? And then you go ask a technical solution person and they're like, that's that. And it ends up being something that's just like in macrofab, conformal coding is a thing. It's like a thing in PCBs. And that's a thing. It's a little thing, but it's if you know it, it'll make you sound like a real badass.
I love that. You know, it's funny. I often say that the SDR role is both impossible and unfair. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you just looked at it on paper, it's impossible because SDRs are always calling into people with titles doing a role that they've never done. Like, like when I get calls from SDRs, yes. I know that none of them have been a CMO before, you know, like it just doesn't compute. Yeah. However, the unfair part, and I almost wish I could wave a magic wand and have this light bulb come on for more SDRs. The unfair part is the likelihood that your average SDR is going to talk to more CMOs in a given week, in a given month, than I'm going to do talking to my peers is like 99.9% probable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like you get to know that persona just by doing the job, right? Don't you? I mean, isn't this the essence of what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, yes, you get to know, I mean, because it's about just them being like human and a lot of the things that we in our minds as humans, I think kind of think are social faux pas, and this is different in sales. So there's lots of ways that we would talk to somebody just like, and we're like, oh, I don't want to, I'm not going to go on the street and just be like, hey, do you want to buy this? Like, you know, that's not really what people do. But yeah, like just walking on the sidewalk. No, but like this is important because it's a business function. But at the end of the day, yes, you're still people. Yeah. So you have to appeal. Yeah, you have to appeal to both of those. And that you're right. That lives in part of it lives in the persona, because what gets the emotional responses is questions about like what problems people are having or bringing kind of up something, you know, that's a pain point in the industry, asking people like, it's actually great when you ask people, oh, so is, you know, this solution is so that you have right now, is it like, you know, kind of 100% the way you'd want it then? And then they love to be like, well, not 100%. Right. And right. So, yeah. So there's some like general techniques, just humans, but the personas, you have to know the like actual questions to ask based on like their experience. You can't like pick and choose so much. You have to kind of like still be able to speak to some of those things and understand. And if you don't, again, ask, be like, oh man, I've never heard that. That sounds really cool. Like what does that mean again? You know, whatever, because nobody expects you to be perfect, and it's creepy when you are.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it's funny, like this is golden advice, by the way, for anyone listening, because I think sometimes we have this assumption as humans that we should know it all, that we should just have all the right answers to every question that's ever asked.
Oh, yeah.
And yet that isn't the best way to engage people. It's definitely not the best way to create safety and structure for those that don't know you. And let's be honest, in an SDR environment, you're interrupting people all day. They don't know you.
Yeah.
You're a stranger. They don't trust you.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, like, isn't triggering the help instinct by being as human as possible? That's what I'm really hearing coming across from what you teach and train as the number one lesson, like that when SDRs kind of figure that out, they start to have an edge.
Yeah. You know why? Because people don't expect it.
Yeah.
People expect, and that's honestly, like, it's funny, the worst thing in sales has now become honestly the best thing to learn from, right? Like, I always say, right, that omnichannel is so important too, because let's look at it. Like, we have so many different ways of absorbing information these days. it mm-hmm. looks weird when I get emails from a company that are different than the calls that I get, that are different than the LinkedIns that I get. And I get this one person who's maybe emailing me and LinkedIning me, but acting like not acting like they did both, you know, and it's that sounds automated. Right. And so, and people have so many solutions these days. Like it's, you have to, I said this all the time, you know, when I was at Sauce, it's the product is going to be the product. Like there's many out there, but it's the way, and this kind of segues into the PLG, the product led growth. It's the way that they interact with the company that makes the memory and the yeah. positive memory and experience of that company and makes them share it to their friends and things like that. So, you know, that, I think that that's really just important to appeal to.
Yeah. So you mentioned kind of the acronym PLG stands for product led growth.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, you know, in the sales development space, it's not always a tight correlation. In fact, I would argue that the heritage of PLG is, you know, former what used to be called freemium businesses, mm-hmm. usually right. in the software space. And oftentimes there isn't the business model that can support a true sales development motion. You know, because the products might be just so low cost and so high transaction that there's no room for, you know, kind of like a human being in between the process to stand up a non-transactional sales cycle. Yeah. Give me a flavor for the kinds of PLG sales development that you've helped spearhead and practice going forward.
Yeah. So I thought about it that way as well. At the beginning, but I think my ideas of it have kind of evolved after meeting with like different SDR leaders and literally just talking about it. Like I had this long conversation with a friend of mine, Anton, and Anton Linke, and he we just talked about PLG like the whole time for probably an hour and a half. And the way I'm seeing it is, yeah, it's the product has to be there and available. I think that, you know, it doesn't necessarily like have to be the free model. It can be a trial or whatever of the product if it's possible. But I really feel like that also, because what you get when you're trying the product is also you get an idea in the feel of like the company. You might have problems, you might have questions, you might, you know, have different things, and you're probably going to engage with somebody at the company at some point, even if you don't want to, because things, I mean, nothing's perfect, things go wrong, sometimes you need to figure things out. And so that is where I think that I've kind of connected product-led growth as looking at the whole company as like a product. So this is the experience that you will get when you interact with this company. And I'm going to just like give Chewy a shout out here, Chewy Inc. for the pets. Sure. They've been mentioned in many other podcasts and things like that, but they have just, if anybody's worked, they have just an amazing way of communicating with people. Their customer service is on point. But so you just know, like I smile just now because of the experiences that I've had with Chewy, and that comes with anybody that you're talking to. So I know HubSpot teaches like the flywheel theory versus the funnel. There's always going to be a funnel, but it's also a flywheel. It's not just things go down and they disappear forever. Those people are still working with you and they're still putting things in that funnel for you. And so that's the part of product-led growth that connects kind of with that flywheel, which is if I accidentally get connected to a marketing person, like then that marketing person is treating me the way I'd be treated with the customer service person, the way I'd be treated with a salesperson. And if you have everyone, I think, watching their interactions like that or kind of like, you know, setting up positive interactions like that, then you can only really go up.
So you're really advocating for kind of like the whole company. When a PLG motion is stood up, it's not just say the SDRs job to restart or bring forward a human conversation off of product usage. It's true. It's bigger than that.
True. I say that it's that SDRs have a large part of this because they mm-hmm. do. I mean, they are the first memory a lot of the time, sometimes of the company. And that matters. That beginning matters. And I think too that everyone can kind of be a check and balance on each other. Like, you know, if you pass something, do an AE, right? I always say like, hey, keep my number if you need anything, because that's the main thing you'll see on like reviews or G2 or whatever, right? Is that like, oh, impossible to talk to a human, da, 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 da. And I never want that, because like, just give them your office number, give them your email or some way to contact you, so they can never say that, hey, I mean, like, truly that nobody has responded to them or something like that at least one time. And so anyway, I think that can just, SDRs need to be pretty familiar with that. I think that it's very specific with SDRs too, because a big part of being an SDR is, so you have to qualify, obviously, but I've run into it where SDRs don't know what to do when like they qualify and somebody's disqualified and they don't know how to end that an interaction, right?
Yeah.
And again, like, don't overthink it, but like, think of it as our job to send them down the right channels. Everything is a channel, regardless of if it's, hey, this is going to work out. Hey, I don't think this is going to work out. Everything is a channel. So especially with that like freemium model you're talking about, you will have people that are using the product that aren't necessarily a part of your ICP. And so I say, hey, here's the email to support. If you do have, you know, product issues or whatever. But thank you so much. Typically, you know, we always have to kind of like find the message that's the good, like, thanks. But you know, we're not going to continue to go down the sales channel, language.
You know, it's funny, two quotes immediately popped into my mind as you were just kind of walking through those scenarios. The first of which, reacting to what you just said, is, I think that it's a platitude for a reason. Leave people better than you found them is like, you know, like a great rule of
thumb. I say that. That's so funny. I'm like, leave it better than you found it. Oh my goodness.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I say literally that for that. That's so funny that you said that.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of strength in that, because brands are, you know, kind of like this intangible bucket of whatever a company like puts out to the world and the emotions that others feel about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so ultimately, if you're always leaving people better than you found them, you're going to be building brand and doing it in a strong way. The second quote that popped into my mind as you were kind of like laying out this case was, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And I think about that all the time with our own SDRs here at Science, you know, especially inbound SDRs. And I talk about being on stage and, you know, it's funny, there's study after study, and I don't know who's been paying close attention to this, but more and more these days, especially in a B2B buying environment where it's a consensus purchase, multiple people being involved with the sale, the little things like response time, like not feeling treated like a number, like somebody giving you, your advice was gold, like leave your number behind if somebody needs to get a hold of the company.
Yeah.
Those little human things go so far to, you know, what you're really doing, I think. And so this is why I wanted to bring this up. What you're really doing by like leaving your number isn't just kind of like fulfilling your SDR role. What you're really doing is you're basically communicating through action and deed to the prospect, you matter.
Yeah.
Like your business matters.
Yeah.
And I want you to have a direct line to my company. And therefore, like, it changes the dynamic of what I'm now, you mentioned, you know, review sites, where I think this is a great articulation of when this all comes out.
Yeah. But
people think about, they notice that stuff and they do the mental calculus once they've had a relationship with a company. And then the scale of things was like, what was my first impression? How did they treat me? Was my experience and, you know, the sales cycle, like, did I get what I want? and does the product or solution work and all that. But it is that continuum that forms their entire opinion.
Yeah, and it definitely also just goes back to, like you're saying, like making that positive impression. But people remember things, and so when it comes to like having that that experience, forming that experience, and being human and going against their expectations,
yeah,
because they expect to be treated like a number. But when you are human, when you kind of, you know, ask questions, when you are curious and things like that, then, and when you don't let things rattle you too, that's pretty helpful. For whatever reason, when things rattle you, it makes you feel, I guess, more disingenuous. But yeah, when you just try to come to people like, hey, this is, you know, like people, the biggest question is for when I train SDRs a lot of time is, and it's like this question that they don't actually ask, but they think people are just gonna like blow up on them, you know? And right. I know it. I call it out. I'm like, what do you like? You think they're gonna be like they're just gonna be like, no, I never want to talk to you again, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? Like the worst that somebody can say is no. There's so many more people out there. So I try to just tell them, like, yeah, imagine the worst situation right now. Somebody, I don't know, curses you out and never wants to speak to you again and is like, I'm gonna report you for whatever reason, like, you know what, right. I mean, and but as long as you know, like, that you are doing things ethically and right and things like that, like, I encourage people, if they're being, and I was talking to a friend about this, I encourage people, if they're being mistreated or like somebody's being rude, to hang up the phone. Like, that is, I don't think that anybody should have to put up with being treated rudely or anything like that. So yeah. I try to mentally prepare and help my SDRs in that way too. Cause like, sure. if this isn't, cause that person is not going to buy from you. Like, yeah. Let's be real. That person isn't going to buy from you and they're going to be wasting their time and yours.
Yeah.
And so I like to really focus on like that bigger picture and be like, hey, honestly, doesn't happen that often. Like, the worst is like being hung up on. And then I'll be in a group phone call and be like, if you've ever been hung up on making a phone call, like, raise your hand. And so just getting them ready for the things that, yeah, exactly, that will happen. And then setting up like, hey, the worst that could happen is that somebody is rude. And then guess what? You don't have to be connected to them anymore. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of, I love the fact that you're drawing boundaries and creating a safe space for your SDRs. I think that's really healthy. I'm also a fan of trying to teach, like, healing people with kindness, you know, like back to that, yeah, point of humanity. Oftentimes the best diffuser of the bomb that is the super effing blah, 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 that disturbed my day, like, is just to kind of, like, you know, really just almost submit, almost just go, you know, you're absolutely right. I did interrupt. I totally like caught you in something that I can't even imagine. I'm, you know, so sorry for that. You know, at the end of the day, like,
I like to be human about it too, though. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, cause my, the worst thing I hate hearing on the phones is when people either start being sarcastic or are being like, you know, you don't actually know anything about this, do you? Right. Like,
yeah.
And, but I do like to still, like, you know, that's not grounds necessarily to like hang up yet. I meant when somebody's being extremely, but whenever, you know, you're going into a difficult situation like that, then what I recommend that SDRs do is give them the business reasons. Let them know, like, this is, yeah, a business, like, and not even like your sales organization is a business. They run a business too. Like, look, I hear you. I'm not an engineer. I just know that a lot of engineers, when sourcing parts and things like that, come into, you know, these issues, and we're actually able to help them, you know, do these things easier, in an easier way and faster, more securely. So I didn't know if that was something that you'd be interested in. I have learned a lot about the business, but you're right, I'm not an engineer, you know? And so, and just kind of like taking it that way, like, they know there's no like what people expect from sales, right, is like the rope-a-dope or whatever. Yeah. They expect the like 1-2, like trying to, you know, and if you just come here as arms wide open as you can, then I think you can really get real conversations happening that way, because that's like when you're like, hey, nobody's playing a game, like honestly, just trying to help, just, you know, and this is why, right? And yep. Get back to the point of why you're guys talking, because people will love to try and take it away. Like, try to get as much about what you're talking about in that conversation. Don't go off to the side in any other direction. And you know, you're good. You've done your due diligence on that phone call.
I love that. That's such a great centering technique too, to just bring it back to the basics. You know, like, hey, maybe I'm not talking to the right person. Maybe because I'm on the outside of your company looking in, like, we guessed wrong. And yeah. Hey, I reserve the right to be wrong. You know, like, ultimately, I think it sounds like a power move, but it's really not. It's more of again, like that kind of servant, submissive, service oriented message, where you retreat back to the main reason why, you know, the main business case of why call, why reach out, why interrupt somebody's day.
I think, yeah. And I think you also stand your ground as a business person, because that I try to empower every SDR, you know, that comes across to my desk is you have a seat at this table. You're part of this business function, and it's important because, you know, that's what you do. You started the boot camp when you're training the SDRs, but also when you're, you know, working with them, I've had to have that kind of like confidence talk a lot. Cause it's like, they'll talk to me. I've had SDRs that'll talk to me and they're so confident in what they're talking about. But then I hear them on the phones and it's just a different person. Right. And I'm like, why can't you talk to them like you're talking to me right now? Like, you're very confident in what you're talking about. You know, the product, you know, how it works out. Like, why not you making jokes? Like, you know, a little bit of that with them can go a long way, you know, and I really see that. And that's what I try and bring out in reps when they're connecting with clients.
That is a great coaching point. And I think that I imagine that your reps are probably very receptive to that message and very kind of like, oh yeah, I could do that. You know,
yeah, like I am what? Like, yeah.
But again, it's all the mental gymnastics that we probably put ourselves through to get on the phones. And we think that it's somehow a different situation, or, you know, we put people on pedestals, or we
shake it, like any word we say might like run them off. Like, people aren't here.
Walking on eggshells.
Yeah,
totally. But yeah. Don't make it harder than it has to be.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Cause again, you're like, you can, the monster is in your head that you build up is much more. I just reality check with SDRs all the time. Multiple. It doesn't matter if, you know, like, I'm just like, cause like, do you think that they're going to run? And then they're like, oh man, like, you're right. I think that they're just going to run away if I say one word or something. You know what I mean? So it's great.
Well, which is actually, it's not that untrue. If you think about like creating a self-fulfilling prophecy, where people do sound completely different than, you know, kind of like normal human beings. That you can get in your own way in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, yeah, it's all about, like, I was talking today, during like an interview about scripting. Right. And I think it's important for a foundation. I think, you know, I've gotten pushback from SDRs about having to write a pitch. They're like, pitching is old. It's so old school. And I mean, like, literally, like, people aren't in elevators with people anymore. Like, they are, but it's not like that. And so whatever. Yeah, I get it. That idea is older, just like lots of ideas. But the foundation of it is that you know what your product does and you can say it succinctly. And that will never not be valuable. So have a pitch. And I've worked with reps to make their pitch. And I'm like, yeah, they stick by it at the beginning, but once they get more comfortable, it always transforms and they're always able to have more kind of like authentic conversations. And that's really the part that is when people listen to you, is when you sound confident in what you're saying. Like, it's weird, but they will hang on a little bit more before, even if you're saying something that doesn't make sense, but they will hang on a little bit more before if I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's
tone matters.
Psychology, man.
Yeah. Tone matters all day long. Yes. I couldn't agree more. We're circling around here too, is the SDRs, the whole SDR, if you will, being able to play on, you know, or build a bag of tricks, you know, knowing how to trigger help instinct, knowing how to confidently state tone, knowing also when to, you know, not blow smoke and say things you, where you're way out of your depth, right? Because that actually will harm your case faster than anything.
I've certainly had SDRs that came in and they tried to use things that they didn't know what they were necessarily talking about. And then, you know, what you don't want to do, and what's been, especially if you're working with highly technical people, is get caught in a rabbit hole. That is what I call it. And that's what I tell people to really shy away from, because you, all the time you're going to lose. Like, you're going to lose if this is about, like, who knows more about engineering or something. You know what I mean? Like, woo.
Totally.
And so keep it to those more surface level things, because we have solution architects. We have people that will talk all day to you about those things. And I sell those things. Like, you're a salesperson. Like, oh, that is such a good question. Our solution guy can definitely spend some time digging into that with you. What's it called? How do you spell it again? So I can make sure I can tell him, because I don't know what it is, but he will. Like, you know what I mean? And there, that's like now personality. So there you go.
That I swear that is like one of the best techniques. I call it the flip forward, where you take somebody's, anytime you, as an SDR, you would think to yourself, ooh, I don't know the answer to this question. Rather than feeling afraid and fearful and like on the spot, the exact opposite is true. Oh my gosh, this would be a great reason for a meeting. This would be a great reason to talk further. This would be a great reason to tee up my subject matter expert on my team to answer this particular question, right? Like, so it's interesting, the technique and the almost just like having it as a habit. I think of like healthy SDR habits, that would be one of them, very high on the list, especially for the phone channel, where when you hear a question, recognize that maybe you're not necessarily the one who has to answer it.
Yeah. And you probably, should you?
Probably should.
Right? Because your best way, like if you focus on, and I, you know, back to the clarity of task, like these are my tasks that I do and the assigned time, but also that translates to the phone calls on, I tell people to build a map. I'm sure other people probably say that too, but you build a map throughout the phone call, right? So typically there's an intro, you know, and you build it out. Obviously it's going to maybe go a bit different, but I do try to say, have a strong intro if you can help that, because that you start that, but you build that map so you can make sure you're leading the conversation throughout. So, you know, any objection handling or things like that. And so if you literally have that in front of your face and then close, obviously it's at the end of that, celebrate, then you can at any point kind of like be talking to this person, see where you are, and then be like, oh, okay, well, we're a little bit too much into rapport now. So let's kind of talk about why we're actually here, you know, and different things like that. But you have to have, when you're making that journey, it's got to be intentional.
Yeah.
It's so important to have the intention. Like, I always say all the time, SDRs, it's like having this conversation is like saying, like, you know, right, like go to France, right? Right now, I can go to France in many different ways. I can circle the globe. I can go whatever. I can go by boat, plane. But making that map is like now saying, let's go to France this way. And that's the same with you're talking about your products. You have so many different ways, things that you can do and that you can talk about. But if you can get them hooked on one, two, tops three things, then you've done your job, because the wanting more is what's going to make that momentum into your product and into the folks that can talk a little bit deeper about this. And then the little things that they talk about won't necessarily necessarily like, if you're just meeting with somebody and you're like, oh, talking about these little things and people don't know it, you're going to be way more turned off than if you go in and they're like, oh, we can't do that. But we know what you're talking about, but we can't do it. And you're like, okay, then, but you're already invested. Yeah. So it's better to kind of get them on what you know first, right? And what you've kind of planned, honestly, in lack of a better word.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that you've laid out a really strong set of kind of like best practices to follow and ways to think. I love the fact that you're mentioning intentionality, because that's so strong for the direction of any call, right? If you don't know where mm-hmm. you're going, any road will take you there.
Yeah.
So knowing where you want to end up is probably a great place to start, you know, building back from. Terry, yeah. This has been like a really great episode. And I want to thank you for taking your time and sharing a lot of your, you know, kind of management and SDR leadership insights with us. Those folks in the audience that want to get a hold of you and maybe continue the conversation or frankly pump you for more information, where should they go?
So I'm on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/in/CharityL. You can find me there, add me on there. Also, you can send me an email. I'm at charity.lee823@gmail.com. So any of those channels, I'm always interested in learning what's going on and networking with folks. I'm currently looking for my next career. Very excited to find that and to give that out to the team and let people know what's going on. I've had a really great time too. This is a new experience for me. I mean, I talk to my SDRs like this all the time, but it's interesting showing my like mad scientist to the rest of the world. So thank you for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. And this is, like I said, this has been great. So thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.